So at this very moment, technology teeters on the brink of actually being able to create autonomous robot soldiers. Now, of course, we can probably get robots to shoot straight, but can we get them to actually follow something like the Geneva Convention on the battlefield, or could we at least prevent a scenario like this from coming to pass?
The system goes online on August 4th, 1997. Human decisions are removed from strategic defense. Skynet begins to learn at a geometric rate. It becomes self-aware at 2:14 a.m. Eastern Time, August 29th. In a panic, they try to pull the plug.
Pull the plug, for heaven's sakes. That, of course, is from Terminator 2, Judgment Day. It's all about how robot soldiers and robot computers actually ended the world, or came close. Joining us now to talk about whether we even want robot soldiers to begin with and what are the ethical questions of training them to work with humans is Cornelia Dean. She has a piece on the front page of the Science Times in today's New York Times about ethical robots. Cornelia, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you.
So what are the challenges of teaching robots who we're pretty confident can shoot straight and probably faster than humans to make ethical decisions on the battlefield?
Well, I think the first challenge is to decide whether you want to make machines to make these decisions in the first place. And that's the most important issue, I think, that the researchers that I spoke to were talking about. And that is, this kind of thing can be done, probably, maybe it can be done. But the question is this a road as a society we want to go down in the first place? And they are urging a wider public discussion about what, you know, is this even acceptable?
And we're already pretty far down this road. I mean, there are non-autonomous robot devices that are used on the battlefield almost routinely today. What is the state of technology on autonomous robots?
Well, there are all kinds of things that can be done, and there's all kinds of research going on all over the place for useful things. For example, you know, robots that will vacuum your house, or people are working on robots that can assist disabled people or elderly people to stay in their homes. There are all kinds of useful technologies that have been developed or are being developed. But what these researchers say, which I think is true, is that if you're doing, no matter what kind of work you're doing, if you're working on robotics, in a way, you're working for the military because the military is sweeping the scientific literature. And if they discover something that's useful for them, they'll pick it up, as well they should.
So the ability of a vacuum cleaning robot in your home to make an ethical decision about maybe not disturbing someone in the room who's watching television as they work is appropriate on the battlefield in making moral decisions on deciding who to shoot at or...
Well, I don't know whether the vacuum cleaner cares whether there's anybody in the room or not, but the question of under what circumstances is it ethical to fire a lethal weapon, that's what some of these people are looking at now, whether it's possible to build that capacity into a robot, or if you can't do it perfectly, if you can do it better than if you can cause a robot to make those decisions better than people can.
And what would constitute better? I mean, it seems to me if you've already decided that the robots will be the soldiers, you've really made the decision that there's a whole different moral set of values that governs robot soldiers versus human soldiers.
Well, I think that's one of the issues that these researchers wish that members of that all of us in society would talk about. But one researcher that I wrote about, what he says is that we already know that people on the battlefield are prey to a number of factors that reduce their capacity to act ethically. They may be angry. They may be stressed out. They may be looking for vengeance. They may be exhausted. They may have all kinds of problems that reduce their ability to do the right thing. And a machine, in theory, can be built without these problems.
Where is this research taking place principally in robotics vis-a-vis, ethical behavior and trying to teach complex behaviors to robots?
Well, the research that I focused on is going on at Georgia Tech in Atlanta in the robotics lab of Dr. Ronald C. Arkin, who's a computer scientist and roboticist at Georgia Tech. But people all over are talking about it, including Dr. Arkin. Dr. Arkin is a real passionate advocate of bringing this issue to the fore, to having some kind of a discussion about it. And he's been at conferences and so on. The issue is kind of rising in the scholarly community. And they are organizing conferences and meetings and publications and so on about it. But he and other people, Dr. Arkin and other people involved in this, want to move it into the wider public arena.
Does the Pentagon want to proceed with autonomous robots without getting the public involved in a broader ethical discussion of what that would mean?
Well, what the people in the Pentagon, when I spoke to them, what they say is, you know, look, we're interested in scientific research that's relevant to us, but decisions about what kinds of systems will be deployed and when they'll be deployed and so on are the province of the the civilian control of the military, which we have in this country, and up to the commander in chief.
So it's a reiteration, a sort of technological version of civilian control of the military.
Yeah, and what one of them said to me is, you know, the commander in chief is answerable to the public, and so are we answerable to the public.
And so should the robots. Cornelia Dean, thanks so much for joining us. Before we go, what's your most annoying English phrase?
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Hopefully we'll see you again here in the studio. Cornelia Dean is science reporter for the New York Times. Her front page story on ethical robots is in today's paper.